Thanks for tuning in to Organic Matters. Hope you enjoy the shows each week. They're continuing to grow. I haven't done a lot to really support it, except I do let a lot of people know about it. And after 20-some years on the air, I guess those people let other people know. So almost every week, I increase at least some listenership. So thanks for tuning in. I'm going to begin by kind of catching up on an article, or at least something I talk about once a year. I would do it more, but I don't want to beat it to death. But it is very important to all of us. And that's the ever-ending problem we have with plastics. In the form of empty water bottles, used shopping bags, tattered snack packages, plastic waste turns up pretty much everywhere on Earth in the whole world today. It has been found at the bottom of the Mariana Trench. That's 36,000 feet under the ocean, folks, incidentally. It litters the beaches of every shore of almost every island in all of our oceans, including in basically unpopulated areas in the Indian Ocean. The Great Pacific Garbage Patch, we call it, actually is from the area of California to Hawaii, covers an area that's about 600,000 square miles and has about 2 trillion plastic shards in it. I even know how to tell you what that number is. Among the many creatures being done in by all this junk are the corals themselves, tortoises, one of my favorite animals, and sea turtles. And biggie that surprised me is elephants. In particular, the elephants in Sri Lanka. In the last few years, they found over 20 elephants dead just from ingesting plastics by the landfills near the towns where they live. And I myself had the misfortune, I guess, of meeting a lady that was a veterinarian out in Fort Stockton, Texas. And she had a story for me. We met one night actually at a restaurant, just by total coincidence. And one of her stories was about a farmer with some very expensive cattle. I don't know what that means, but I don't think any cows are cheap. And he had a real good cow that was due to deliver, he thought, but it kept getting thinner and thinner, and it couldn't get its health back. She finally ended up x-raying it and eventually, incidentally, cutting the animal open. She saved its life, which sounds weird. It had 38 pounds of plastic in it. Pounds now. It's called hardware disease by some people in mammals. And the animal survived. It ended up not having to be able to have calves anymore. But anyway, that's a story I personally know about. And so I'm pretty much an anti-plastic nut, I guess. Plastic pollution has become one of the most pressing environmental issues that I can think of, as rapidly increasing production of disposable plastic products literally overwhelms the world's ability to deal with them. Plastic pollution is the most visible in developing countries like Asia and Africa, where garbage collection systems are often just totally inefficient, or in many of the small towns, just totally non-existent. But the developed world, especially in countries with low recycling rates, and unfortunately, that's a lot of us, also has trouble properly collecting discarded plastic. Plastic trash has become so ubiquitous, it has prompted efforts to write a global treaty negotiated by the United Nations that we're all working on and hopefully we'll all try to honor. So as a little history, plastics made from fossil fuels are just about a century old from the very time the very first ones were made. Production and development of thousands of new plastic products accelerated right after World War II. So transforming the modern age that life without plastics would be literally unrecognizable today. We do have to admit that. Plastics revolutionized medicine with life-saving devices, made space travel possible, lightened the weight of cars and jets by tons, saving fuel and pollution, and saved lives with helmets, incubators, and equipment for cleaning drinking water and working in the hospital like nothing else that had ever been around before the introduction of plastics. So kind of the convenience that plastics offer, however, led to a throwaway culture that reveals the material's bad side. There's a good side, good side to everything. Single-use plastics account for about 40% of all the plastic produced every year. It's used one time. Many of these products, such as plastic bags, which is my favorite pet peeve if I have to have one. And food wrappers have a lifespan of mere minutes to hours before they're used, yet they persist in the environment, can for hundreds of years. My story about plastic bags I have to tell. This is my radio show, and this is one reason. I spent several months in Australia. You didn't see a plastic bag stuck on a tree. You didn't see a plastic bag hanging on a fence. You didn't see a plastic bottle along the road. And I mean, we went on a lot of road. I was in a place called Alice Springs, literally in the center of Australia. So near big by cities like Adelaide was 20 hours away by road. Australia's a big country, folks. You don't see any of it. Why? Because they got a bounty on it. Everything they use that's plastic, whether it's a Coca-Cola bottle, a water bottle, a bag you use if you go into the grocery store, which you don't even do, they don't have any, has a nickel on it. It costs a nickel. Now that sounds, well, oh my, the poor people. No, you only have to buy it all once. Because if you buy, I'll just use an ideal example of what we did. You buy 24 bottles of water, and I'm not even good on plastic water bottles, but somewhere in Australia, that's the only water you can get. They're all worth a nickel each, so you pay that buck and a quarter or buck 50 for those 24 bottles. But you just take them back. And from then on, when you trade, you don't pay anymore. So if you were efficient, that one 24-bottle pack will, for the rest of your life of being there, you won't pay another nickel because each time you get them, you take them back. Now, if you're lazy or you want to give money away, it's really interesting. All along the road, sometimes out in places so remote you can't believe it, these giant, they would look like super large trash cans. They're four times the size of a normal trash bin. And they have a name on them for the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, the YMCA, whatever you're doing. And you can either put those bottles and cans and plastic bags in there, or they also go along the roads and pick them up because they get their nickel back. They don't care who has it. The bag is worth a nickel. The plastic container is worth a nickel. The plastic Coke bottle is worth a nickel. They make a lot of money for people that are either too lazy or refuse to take the time to take plastic back. And for that reason, you don't see any plastic. It all has a value. We need to participate in that on a nationwide basis. It would be the best single thing we could do to start eliminating our ever-increasing plastic problem. Hope to not bore you, but a few more plastic facts I find interesting. At this point in time, half of all plastics ever manufactured on Earth have all been made in the last 15 years. So it's a growing industry. Production increased exponentially from 2.3 million tons in the early 50s to 450 million tons in 2015. Production is expected to double again by the year 2030 to 2035. Every year, about 8 million tons of plastic waste gets into our oceans alone. That's the equivalent of setting five garbage bags full of trash on every foot of coastline around the entire world. To add insult to injury, a number of these plastics often contain additives that make them stronger, more flexible, and durable. But many of these additives can extend the life of the products for even longer as they become litter. And some estimates ranging that certain plastics have became so stable now, they're probably going to still be in the environment in 400 years. As you might realize, most of the plastic trash in the oceans, which incidentally is Earth's kind of last sink, flows from land. Trash is also carried to the sea by major rivers. The Mississippi is an ideal example, which acts as a conveyor belt, picking up more and more trash as it all moves downstream. Once at sea, much of the plastic remains in coastal waters, but once caught up in the ocean currents, it can be transported in some ways all the way around the world. This might paint a picture for you. On Henderson Island, which is an uninhabited atoll in the Pitcairn group, isolated about halfway between Chile and New Zealand, if you can get a mental image of that, scientists found plastic items from Russia, the United States, Europe, South America, Japan, and China. They were carried to the South Pacific by the South Pacific Gyre, is what they called, a sort of a circular ocean current. So from all over the world to that one little atoll, and that's just one example. To add more insult to injury, once at sea, sunlight, wind, and wave action break down plastic waste into little tiny particles, often, to kind of give you an image, 1/5 of an inch across or less. There's so-called now microplastics, and they're spread throughout the water column and have been found in every corner of the globe, from Mount Everest, the highest peak, to the Mariana Trench, the deepest trough. Microplastics are breaking down further into smaller and smaller pieces. Plastic microfibers, meanwhile, have been found in municipal drinking water systems and drifting through the air. Oh, and incidentally, in a lot of humans now. And my kick, because if you know my background, you know what I feel about wildlife. Millions of animals are killed by plastic every year, from birds to fish to a lot of marine organisms. Nearly 700 species, including endangered ones, are known to have been affected by plastics. Nearly every species of seabird eats plastic on a regular basis. And of course, most of the deaths to animals are caused by entanglement or starvation. Seals, whales, my favorite, turtles, and other animals are strangled by abandoned fishing gear and discarded. One of the ones that's crazy are six-pack rings. Folks, cut them up. If you're going to leave them, but don't leave them is the idea. Microplastics have been found in more than 100 aquatic species, fish, shrimp, and mussels, most of them destined for our dinner plates. That's how they discover them. In many cases, these tiny bits pass through the digestive system and are expelled without consequence. But plastics have also been found to have blocked their digestive tracts, pierced organs, and caused death in a number of animals. Stomachs so packed with plastics reduce the urge to eat, causing starvation. Which brings you back to my cow story I started this particular part of the show with. In short, plastics have been consumed by land-based animals. Back to my elephant story, including elephants, hyenas, zebras, tigers, camels, a lot of cattle, and other large mammals, and in many cases do cause death. Tests have been confirmed on liver and cell damage and disruptions to reproductive systems, prompting some species, oysters an ideal example, to produce far fewer eggs. New research has shown that larval fish are eating nanofibers in the first day of life, raising questions about the effects of these plastics on the whole fish populations. So my answer and a final note is the solution is to prevent plastic waste from entering the rivers, the seas, and our environment in the first damn place. This could be accomplished with improved waste management systems and recycling, which has not been as successful as it should be, better product design that takes into account the short life of disposable packaging, and reduction in manufacturing of unnecessary single-use plastics. And again, I'm going to add my solution. Put a dollar on it. Put a nickel on every bag, a nickel on every bottle, a nickel on everything, a dime, whatever. It's a dime, I think, in New Hampshire. And yes, the first thing you always say, well, the poor people are going to suffer. No, again, it will make them more aware of what's going on every time they buy a bottle of water that's in a plastic container. And as a matter of fact, I was a young poor boy. I really was in Georgia. One of my quickest ways to make money was picking up Coke bottles on the way to the store. If you make a nickel on every plastic container, there won't be any around, and anybody that wants to gather it up can actually end up making a little money at it. My thought on the subject, thanks for staying tuned to Organic Matters.